Hi, everyone. Welcome into Scrambled Eggs, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast here on Crack Sidewalks. Joe McCann, Phil Bush here with you. Phil, I guess we got to knock this, what is essentially our season preview out now, because we got so much on our calendars individually the next few months. We're not sure when we're going to record another one, so let's just do the preview now, I guess.
Right. Neither one of us are going to be home anytime in the next month, so we're going to have to take care of it all now.
Yeah, I think maybe we'll just preview the season and also just go ahead and, you know, predict what our reactions might be to the first five or six games, because who knows if we'll actually do a podcast
We'll just record six or seven different possibilities and we'll plug in whatever actually ends up happening.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. But seriously, though, what we're going to do in today's show, we are going to go through the schedule and just kind of pick game by game, a little knee-jerk reaction, what we think is going to happen, what the team is going to do, wins and losses-wise, and we'll add up the totals and see, you know, as much as we've talked about, Phil, that this could be a bad season, a disappointing season, wins and losses wise. I guess now as we go through the schedule, we'll see maybe exactly how bad it could potentially be, or good, maybe.
Right. Well, we'll find whether there's optimism to be had or not. You know, like I've said before, though, caveat when we go through the schedule, I'm actually optimistic on the season in general, just pessimistic as to how they're going to perform, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, it does. It does. And at the end of the after we go through the schedule, we're going to like break down the lineup a little bit, maybe pick some guys and some expectations we have as far as maybe a preseason team MVP. All the conferences do a team player of the year and whatnot. We're going to do a preseason team MVP, breakout player, newcomer, and X-Factor players for this season. But first, Phil, let's just kind of just rumble through the schedule here. We're going to go game by game, pick wins and losses, and maybe see exactly what we think Marquette's schedule will look like as we go through the season. All right, ready for this?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's start with the hopefully what we think would be an easy one against Tennessee Martin. I assume you have a win there.
I have a win there, and as well against Wisconsin Lutheran in exhibition.
That those are critical.
Well, those will decide seeding in the tournament, I've been told.
And they will also decide how intently we watch the next one.
Correct.
At Ohio State, which is going to be the first real challenge for the team, and that is a really early challenge. Me, Phil, I have the Ohio State game as a loss.
I have it as a loss, and it's going to be a relatively big loss. Surprisingly, though, I don't think it'll be as bad as last year's loss, which is weird, but it's still a loss.
Well, the thing is, it couldn't be much worse than
last
year's, could it?
Well,
I mean, unless they got shut out.
Unless we raised the Titanic and sank it again.
Yeah, because last year's game against Ohio State was honestly pretty embarrassing to watch, because it was the first college basketball game on Fox,
yes,
as I recall, and it was just a total grease fire of a game to watch. And hopefully it is just a little bit better of a showing this time around. I don't think it will result in a win, because I think it's way too early for this team to get a win like that. Next two games, what we hope will be gimmies, Phil, Nebraska-Omaha and New Jersey Institute of Technology. I have them with two wins. You as well?
Yes, I have both as wins.
All right. Well, then we get to the part where that gets a little interesting. The Orlando Classic. Marquette is opening with Georgia Tech, and we don't know who the opponents will be after that. It'll be either Michigan State and Rider, and then any of the other four teams on the other side of the bracket. That includes Kansas, Tennessee. We'll see who knows how that goes. As far as the first game, Phil, I am optimistic that maybe Marquette could steal a win against Georgia Tech in the first game.
Yeah, I don't know enough about Georgia Tech. You know, they seem to be constantly rebuilding, so I'm going to say a W for their first true road win of the season.
Yeah, but and then for the rest of the tournament, Phil, how do you see Marquette leaving Orlando? With one win, two wins, three wins?
I see it one win and two losses. I think they kind of expend themselves in the Georgia Tech game. There's virtually no way they're going to take out Michigan State. Yeah. And then the to
even
be determined.
Even in a year where Michigan State may be perceived as being quote-unquote down by their standards, I still think Michigan State will be a little bit too tough to deal with, assuming it is Michigan State that Marquette plays in the second game. One way or another, I think Marquette will come out of Orlando with just one win, whether that means beating Georgia Tech and then losing to Michigan State and whoever they get after that, or whether it's losing to Georgia Tech and then maybe getting Ryder for a game and then getting a third game after that, whoever it's going to be against. However it pans out, I kind of just see Marquette going 1-2 in Orlando. Moving on from that, then now this is the one where, you know, when we get down to it, we'll probably get too emotional and pick the other way. But right now, the Badgers in Milwaukee, Phil, we all hope this is going to be a win. But realistically, for the sake of picking the schedule, I definitely have it as a loss.
Listen, I married my Badger wife expressly so I could ruin the fun of one Badger in the world. However, this is a case where the Badgers are going to ruin all our fun. I just don't see any way that Marquette can pull the upset. Wisconsin's too good, too experienced. Marquette's still too young. And if I'm correct, Luke Fisher still would not be back for that game.
Correct.
So, Frank Kaminsky, your table is ready.
Yeah, I'm sure Marquette will put up a big fight because it's a rivalry game and the place will be packed, hopefully with as few red shirts as possible. But hopefully it's all gold everywhere. But, again, just for the sake of being realistic in picking this schedule, I definitely have the Wisconsin game as a loss. Now, the next game after that, after a little bit of a break, there's a 10-day break because I assume for final exams. Then Arizona State is the next game on the 16th, and that is the game when Marquette will get Fisher back. And for that reason, Phil, I am going to be a little optimistic and say they beat Arizona State at home.
I'm actually, for the same reasons, actually going to go with a loss. I think that, granted, they'll have 10 days, but I think psychologically after the Wisconsin loss, which potentially may be a drubbing, and getting Fisher back and having to totally change style. I mean, let's be honest, Fisher will change the way the team plays in a good way, but it's going to take some time to get into that rhythm. While I don't think Arizona State's very good, I do think that in the non-conference season, Marquette's really going to struggle, and I think Arizona State comes up with a loss there.
All right. Well, so that's another loss then. And then from there, there's three what we hope would be gimme games to round out the non-conference play. Alabama A&M at the Al McGuire Center, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
North Dakota and then Morgan State. I assume three wins for you, Phil.
Those are three wins to break the four-game losing streak I had running there.
Yeah, that
that's
might be
depressing.
A little bit of a down. Twitter might be a not so fun place for the Mub hashtag for the a few weeks there.
Yeah, I'll need to make sure I have all my dumpster fire pictures ready to post.
Well, we'll get that ready. But so to recap, through non-conference play, Phil has Marquette at 7-5. I have Marquette at 8-4. As far as quote unquote quality wins, I have them beating Georgia Tech and maybe Arizona State. Phil just has maybe one win over Georgia Tech in the Orlando Classic. Other than that, no real quality wins on the resume as far as if we're talking about making a tournament
right.
in March. So that's kind of where we are in non-conference play. And Phil, the thing is, if Marquette is at, say, 8-4 at this point, I would be cautiously optimistic that maybe they could bounce back in Big East play and be interesting as we get into February.
Right. If they're 8-4, I'm satisfied. Anything better than 8-4, I'm damn near ecstatic.
Yeah, same here. If they were to hit this point at 9-3, no matter who the 9 wins are against, they would have a quality, exciting win somewhere in there, and there would be reasons to be very excited. But so we kind of have them 7-8 wins at this point of the season, and then Big East play starts on New Year's Eve, as we did last year. So I guess there'll be another Big East marathon to kick off Big East
which
play.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. And hopefully Fox Sports 1 continues to grow, and maybe there's a few more eyes on it this year. This year for Marquette, it will be at DePaul, so in Chicago. And one thing I looked about opening in Chicago, Phil, because the students will be on fall break, or Christmas break.
Yep.
But a lot of Marquette students are from Chicago. And so I think we will have a lot of gold shirts in Chicago that weekend, and I think it will be like another home game, and I think Marquette will beat DePaul to open Big East play.
I agree with you that there will be a lot of Marquette fans there, but the Allstate Arena is literally and figuratively a house of horrors, especially for Marquette. I do think there'll be a lot of fans there, but you know, whether it's overhype from the being the opening game of Big East play or what, I have DePaul and their awful team racking up a win against Marquette, unfortunately.
Womp womp.
Yeah.
Well,
I know.
I
am not looking forward to the Twitter Marquette Illuminati coming after me.
Well, these are just predictions. We're just trying to temper the expectations. But so I start. I say 1-0. You say 0-1. Then Marquette comes home for its first home Big East game. That'll be Providence. That'll be on January 3rd. I have them starting 2-0 in Big East play, Phil.
Well, I have them getting off the schneid with a win.
All right. And then from there, I have them coming back down to earth when they go to Washington, D.C. and play Georgetown. I think Georgetown should be pretty tough this year. And I got this one as a loss.
I have Georgetown as a loss as well. Georgetown's going to be top three team in the Big East. And at this point in the season, Marquette's still too inexperienced and too young to steal one on the road, I think.
Yeah, as we kind of go through this Big East schedule, Phil, one thing that was tough for me, there's maybe only one or two teams that I am 100% certain are better than Marquette, and there are really no teams that I am 100% certain Marquette is 100% better than. And
yeah.
So there are so many games that could go either way. If you saw a lot of the Big East polls or preseason predictions as you were scanning through Twitter the last couple weeks, it seems to be the consensus be it's really kind of murky in the middle. Pretty much everyone has Villanova winning it, and then probably Georgetown two or three behind them. And then pretty much everyone has DePaul and Creighton and Butler at the bottom, and then just anything goes between basically the 3 and 7 spots in the conference.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, we're being I don't know whether we're being pessimistic or realistic or not, but given what the Big East has, there is a scenario where if Marquette avoids injuries and its talent plays up to expectation, that Marquette could go on a tear and really do some damage in the Big East.
Right. Yeah, keep in mind, as we go through this thing, at this point of the season, Marquette will have Fisher, and he will be well ingrained in the offense at this point.
Correct.
So the whole, there's still concerns about depth, and because, if he gets hurt and he can't play 40 minutes a game either. So there are still concerns about the front court depth, but at least they will have a big man at this point. As we kind of jump back into the schedule here, all right, so I got him at 2-1, you have him at 1-2, and then they're coming home to play Creighton, way down this year after graduating so many seniors, at least. That is the perception right now.
Right.
Down, Leo. I have them beating Creighton at home.
I also have them beating Creighton at home because Creighton is clearly worse and Doug McDermott is not walking through those doors.
Thankfully. Don't have to see that again. I'm sure that hopefully there will still be. I would like there to be a rivalry though between Marquette and Creighton though.
I think it's probably the most natural rivalry of the new teams in the Big East for Marquette.
Two Midwest Jesuit schools, and one of them isn't DePaul. So
right.
All right. So the next game they're going on the road for a couple two game road trip here, at Xavier, at St. John's. And Phil, I have this as kind of a little tough stretch for Marquette. I have them losing both of these games in Cincinnati and New York.
I have them losing both as well, both from the regards that they're road trips. And I do think St. John's is going to be a little resurgent this year. I mean, they were really feisty last year. Marquette struggled with them. I think lost both games to them in overtime both times. I think St. John's is going to be resurgent, and I think Xavier will be strong. So road wins just aren't there yet. We're still only in January. I don't think Marquette has enough experience by that point to get road wins.
Yeah, with Harrison, D'Angelo Harrison, he'll be probably the top scorer in the Big East. I think pretty much everyone has him as a first-team all preseason Big East player, and he concerns me a lot as when Marquette goes up against St. John's. All right, so I got back-to-back losses there, and then coming home to play Georgetown on January 24th, then I have them actually a third straight L. I have them losing to Georgetown. Even though they play so many close games with Georgetown, I just think the talent with Georgetown this year, especially if Josh Smith is in shape this year.
Hasn't eaten a cheeseburger?
Yeah. Or staying away from Chipotle, if you've read those things that apparently Ben Hallen made him do. If you read the message boards, Ben Hallen apparently put up his face at the nearby Chipotle when he was at UCLA,
yep,
and said, "Keep him out. don't serve him."
I don't know if what's worse is that a poor reflection on Josh Smith or Ben Howland.
Probably a little bit of both.
Right.
I don't know if that story is true. I just kind of hope it is.
Yeah, it would be great.
But he is apparently, for what it's worth, again, we're saying this in October, he is trimmed down by his standards and is in pretty good shape. So if he's good, Georgetown will be very good. So I have them losing to Georgetown again.
Well, this is my one shining moment of optimism, I think. I actually have a win here. Marquette's starting to play to their talent level. It is a home game on a Saturday. I just think Marquette would be due for a big win there. So I actually have a win there.
All right. Well, that would definitely be the kind of win that would kind of spark some optimism in the fan base to get to beat Georgetown. That's happened actually the past couple of years.
Right.
Beating Georgetown has been like a win that everyone says, all right.
So you're telling me we got a chance.
All right. So here we go. All right. Now, one team that I am really not sure about, Phil, because they could go one way or the other to either extreme, is Seton Hall this year. And then they come to the Bradley Center next after that, another home game. They have a talented freshman class, Isaiah Whitehead leading that. He's a guy who could be a one-and-doner. But with that inexperience, though, on Seton Hall, I have Marquette beating them because we have seen, like, especially with St. John's in the past, when they bring in a lot of freshmen, they don't always gel right away. So I think maybe Marquette can beat Seton Hall at home.
You know what? I think Seton Hall is going to be the candidate for chemistry issues in the Big East this year. I think they're going to have talent, but they're just going to be a whole series of head cases. So I think by this point in the season, they may be self-destructing. I've got Marquette with a win at home against Seton Hall.
All right, next one is Butler. I feel bad for Butler just because they look like such a great addition to the Big East, and then Brad Stevens left, and now I'm not so sure. I have them beating Butler.
I do as well. Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that's another win there. And then moving on to the next one is on the road going to Villanova. Villanova, the top team in the Big East, I have that as a loss.
We don't even need to talk about it.
Yeah, so they're the top team in the Big East. And I actually have them now then with back-to-back losses on this little road trip because this is two games in 4 days here. Or 3 days. It's the 4th and the 7th. I have them losing to Seton Hall because on the road in the next one. I think, again, yeah, you said maybe chemistry will be an issue. Talent, probably not for Seton Hall. I think I'd say they get tripped up at Seton Hall.
Yeah, I think this is one of those games that by the time we get to it, Marquette should win. But again, the youthfulness and inexperience rears its ugly head at Seton Hall, and I have a loss as well.
All right. So then after those two losses, then back home for Xavier, a team that kind of exceeded expectations last year and was pretty good. But in Milwaukee, I am optimistic that Marquette can get a win at home against X.
I do as well. Again, this is the point in the season where Marquette is starting to play to their talent level. Wojciechowski is starting to put it together with the team, and I give them a win as well.
As I go through the schedule, I'm starting to think maybe I'm piling up too many wins here, but I'm just going to go with my gut as we kind of go through the schedule. The next one is at Creighton in Omaha, which was a nightmare last year. But again, as we've said earlier, not the same team. So I'm hopeful that Marquette can go to Omaha and get a win this year on Valentine's Day.
I think that's a win as well. As long as Krabby and McDermott aren't raining threes on our heads, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, and then I have Villanova ruining National Marquette Day. You too?
Yep, I do as well.
Yeah, all right. So then Butler, at Butler, Hinkle will always be a tough place to play. But again, I would hope Marquette has a better team than Butler. That's a game that, you know, could be just one of those losses that just so frustrating. It's Marquette. This is, you know, late February where Marquette may or may not be in the bubble discussion. This is a game where I could totally see Marquette tripping up and losing, but I'm just going to try to be a little optimistic here and say they beat Butler.
I do think they beat Butler as well. I think, you know, Butler's coach is going to be out. It's going to be interesting to see how they respond. I'm going to say Marquette with a win here, which would, for me, be their first road win in Big East.
Oh, wow. I guess I haven't been keeping track of that. But that would be significant, I guess, even though it wouldn't be against one of the best teams. The next game, they are at Providence. Providence, again, another team that exceeded expectations last year. Tough trip on the road. I have them losing to Providence on the road.
This is, I mean, obviously I'm projecting all the way out to March 1st, but this is one of those games that I'm 50-50 on. But I think it's one of those games where Marquette probably, when we get to it, on paper should win, but because they're youthful and inexperienced, they lose the game. So I have them as a loss as well.
All right, then this is one, you know, I went one way before when we were doing prep for the podcast, but now I've come back the other way thinking about it, playing St. John's on Owls Night at home. Just the scoring ability of Harrison scares me, so I think I'm going to go with a loss at home to St. John's.
Unlike you, I do not waffle when I make predictions 4 months in advance. I'm going to stay with a win here. I do think down the stretch Marquette will be playing very strong basketball.
And if that happens, Phil, you know, that would be Marquette's first March win since 2013.
Oh, good news.
Because they went 0 for March in 2014, if you recall.
Yes, and pissed everyone off in the process.
Yeah, that was a rough one. Let's not talk about that anymore.
We've left that behind.
Then Marquette ends Big East play with the same team with whom they begin Big East play, DePaul, this one at home. Not so much a house of horrors when they play in DePaul in Milwaukee. I hopefully have that one as a win.
I have it as a win. DePaul always seems to play Marquette tough, even in Milwaukee. There have been a couple of questionable games. But I think this is actually the game, again, projecting 4 months out, I think this is the game where Marquette just goes nuts and kind of puts a stamp on a game that says, you guys better take us seriously next year because we're coming for the Big East.
Hopefully. That would be nice. And it'd be nice to meet, you know, Marquette. You know, again, we've said before, expectations may be a little tempered this year. But, hopefully by this point of the season, as you said, Marquette, the younger, you know, the guys, because as we talk right now, the roles really aren't that clearly defined as far as, you know, who are the alpha dogs, who are the guys who we're going to go to in the clutch. Hopefully those roles are pretty clearly defined at this point. And we'll maybe, even though this season would be coming to an end, start talking about the optimism for next season. So to recap, I had Marquette at 9-9 in Big East play. Phil had them at 10-8, correct?
That is correct.
All right. So then overall, because I had them one better in non-conference and Phil had them one worse, we both have them at 17-13 overall. Phil just has one more win in Big East play. I have one better in non-conference play. 17-13 without any really quality wins probably isn't going to get you in the tournament, in my opinion. But who knows? In any given year, the bubble could be especially soft, and then maybe you see what happens in the Big East tournament in New York. But that's kind of where we both have them right now, yep, is about 17 wins.
Yeah, I think we have them vying for the NIT, which I would be, obviously I want them in the tournament, but if it came down to it, I want them to be vying at least for the NIT, because this is a team, if you're playing in postseason, you get extra practice time, and that could be very, very useful for such a young team.
Yeah, and I'd be curious if Marquette is in a similar situation, hopefully it doesn't come to this, but if Marquette is in a similar situation this year as they were last year, where they could choose to play in one of those postseason tournaments that you have to pay to be in, if they would opt to do that.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say we're not going to have the same coaching situation we had this past postseason.
Yeah, I can't help but think that played into the possibility that Marquette didn't want to play anymore. I think
Marquette
Steve Wojciechowski
transitioning at that point.
Yeah, I think it, you know, March this past season, both the players were kind of done playing for Buzz, and Buzz was kind of done coaching the players. I think it would be the total opposite this year, hopefully. I think Wojciechowski would embrace the opportunity to play one more game, two more games, and get another couple weeks of practice in. So, hopefully it doesn't come to that, and they at least get an NIT bid, or making the tournament would be terrific. But I'd be curious to see what happens if that situation does come up again.
Yep, I agree.
Yep. All right, so 17-13. You know, the thing is, people who maybe evaluate Marquette in the preseason may even say 17 wins is too optimistic. But this is a Marquette podcast, so we're allowed to be a little homerish.
Right. And again, I don't want to anger all of the Twitter Illuminati to come after me. I would like to remain somewhat positive.
Yeah. Yeah, we just try to, you know, be realistic about it. And hopefully we're way wrong and they get 25 wins and go to the Final Four. So we'll see.
I would take it.
That would be fantastic. All right, before we get out of here, we're going to wrap things up. We're kind of talking about the lineup a little bit. We kind of speculated about the starting five in the last podcast and how the lineup's going to shake out. What are your kind of thoughts on that? Anything, has your opinion changed at all, Phil, whether from, you know, seeing Marquette Madness or reading about the scrimmage they had, the Fish Fry, the Haunted Hoops and whatnot? Have you kind of change your mind on anything as far as playing time, starters, anything like that?
Well, I don't know. Everyone brace yourselves, I did a little bit of prepping for this.
Whoa,
everyone look out. And I kind of looked at all the players on the roster that are eligible to play, and I looked at their average minutes played and their max minutes played in a game previously. What was the most minutes they ever played? And one of the things that previously I think we were counting on a lot, and I'm not sure how to interpret it, but Luke Fisher, if you look at it, and I'd kind of forgotten this, He only played in 11 games, averaged 4.1 minutes with a max of 19 minutes against, you know, directional, you know, Sisters of the Poor University.
Well, I mean, to be honest, that's part of the reason he transferred, is he just wasn't getting on the floor in Indiana.
Correct. Yeah. So we would anticipate him getting big minutes at Marquette, especially since he's the only size we're going to have. But I'm going to be very curious to see. I think he's a starter once he's eligible, but I really wonder how many minutes he actually gets. You know, he's not going to go for 40 minutes. Does he go for 20 minutes?
Even if he is an All-American, he wouldn't be playing 40 minutes. That
Correct.
Is a lot to ask out of a big man. But, yeah, I think 20 is much more realistic out of, you know, for a big guy, again, as you say, limited experience. But still, he is Marquette's only big man. If he's staying out of foul trouble, I would think he's probably going to play a lot. But, again, he is a big guy, so he can't play too much. So I think the experience that guys like Taylor and Juan Anderson – and Burton get playing in the front court in non-conference play, that will help out and come into play in the conference play, because they're still going to be playing plenty of minutes down there as Marquette goes through the conference season.
So who do you have as your starting five?
I think I'm still going to go with – I assume this is what we said last time, but I'm still going to go – I still think Derek Wilson starts over Dwayne, and then Juwan Johnson and Matt Carlino in the backcourt as well, and then Burton and Taylor – in the front court. And then, you know, when conference play starts, I think one of those guards will come out, and then Burton will slide down to the three, and then Taylor will start at the four, and Fisher will start. But then, you know, guys, whether it's Derek or Juwan or Carlino who comes out of the starting lineup, I think that'll just depend on how they perform over the next, over non-conference play.
Yeah, I think I'm still looking at the starting lineup of Derek, Carlino, Juwan Johnson, Deontay Burton, and Steve Taylor, pre-Luke Fisher. And then Juwan Johnson comes out of the starting lineup when Fisher's back.
Yeah.
But how many, you know, if you were to look at it from a minutes perspective, take the bundle of Derek, Matt, Juwan, and Dwayne Wilson. Of those four, who's getting the most minutes, do you think?
Whoever plays the best, how's that? No.
Cheating, but okay, fine.
Yeah, but honestly, I think it's probably going to be, I'm going to guess it's going to be Carlino, just because I think he's going to give maybe a little bit more of, hopefully be a little more well-rounded and give a little more offense, because I'm not sure how, I guess I just don't know, we're going to find out how much Wojciechowski values offense versus defense, because obviously previous administration was defense all day, and so then, you know, I you would expect in that situation Derek Wilson would be still be playing over 30 minutes a game, but if Carlino, if he can score the way we think he can, and if he can be at least, I don't know how good of a defender he is at all, but if he can defend a little bit, I think he would probably be trusted the most out there.
Well, the thing that's going to be interesting with Carlino is I think he's a, and I mean with this with the utmost respect, he seems to be a chucker to me. He seems to be one that's looking to
ready to shoot, Jack.
Yeah, he's got the ball. He's gonna shoot. He's kind of a, you know, Antoine Walker back in our college days was the volume shooter. going in the Wayback Machine. I'm not comparing the two. I just think Carlino will be putting up a lot of shots. If they're going in, that's fine. But I just hope he's not a ball stopper that kind of disrupts the offensive flow.
Yeah, I'll definitely be very curious to see how he fits into whatever to Wojciechowski's system and exactly what Wojciechowski's offense is going to look like and how everyone fits into it. And that's something they're just going to have to figure out. And they're going to have some tough challenges to see how these guys measure up against really talented teams. And, you know, that Ohio State one is coming up really quick.
Right.
And so we'll see how those guys do. And
well, and I think the telling thing, and one of the reasons, especially early, I'm not super optimistic, is if you look at it again, preparedness alert, there are four players on the roster that have double digit minutes for averaging. They've averaged double digit minutes. That's it. Juan Anderson averaged 13 minutes, Derek Wilson 31 minutes, Matt Carlino 30 minutes at BYU, and then Deontay Burton averaged 12.6 minutes. Obviously, yeah. Deontay is going to get a ton more minutes, but Derek Wilson, if he's averaging 31 minutes again this season, either his jump shot is vastly improved or Marquette's in a little bit of trouble, I think.
Right. I totally agree with that. I think people definitely want to see more offense out of the point guard position, whether it's shooting or just creating for others. And I'm just not sure. It's been well documented that Derek struggled with that last year, and especially the scoring part anyway. But, yeah, if Carlino can prove to create offense better, I think he'll be put at the one a lot more often, and then we'll see guys like Dawson and Dwayne Wilson come into play alongside of him. And we'll see how those guys do. I know all those guys are itching to get their shot and play more minutes and prove some things that they probably feel they weren't given a chance to prove last year.
Right.
Speaking of having something to prove, let's maybe kind of go through maybe some preseason, I don't want to call them awards, but picks maybe would be a better way to describe it. Maybe guys who will fill certain roles on this team this year. Phil, who would you say would be your preseason MVP? The guy who's going to lead the team in scoring, be the go-to guy for Marquette this year.
It shouldn't surprise anyone, but I'm going to go with Bane, Deontay Burton. I think he's – last season, he was probably the most exciting thing about Marquette basketball, and I think he's going to be again this season. I think he's going to put in 25, 30 minutes a game and – you know, probably average 13, 14 points a game, 6-7 rebounds, and just be a serious two-way threat.
Yeah, I agree with Burton, too. He's the easy pick. A lot of preseason magazines and, you know, lists have him as a potential breakout sophomore this year, a potential breakout scorer this year. It seems like a lot of people think he can do that, and I tend to agree with that. I think he could have a really big season. Hopefully he will, with more minutes this season. Again, just 12 a game last year, I think definitely be in the 20s at least for sure this year, and he definitely has the talent to do so. What about a breakout player? Now, a breakout player could be a guy who is either new to the team or a guy who played very little last year and is going to have a significant breakthrough this season, Phil.
I'm gonna go with, because I want to bring the hashtag back mostly, free Steve Taylor. I think Steve Taylor Jr., he was hobbled by injury and then anchored by Buzz to the bench last season. I think we see, you know, two times what he was in that Syracuse game as a freshman year. I think he's got a chip on his shoulder and a lot to prove. I think he's got a lot of talent, and there's going to be a lot of playing time down low. So I think Steve Taylor is going to be a real breakout that we're going to be talking about him this season and next season as a serious stud.
Yeah, he's really going to have to be, because he's going to be counted on to play a lot and out of position, really.
Right.
Especially in non-conference play, but he's going to get plenty of opportunities to prove himself this year. So I hope you're right on him. My breakout player, I'm just going to, just because I've been high on him for a while since I first saw his mixtapes when he was in high school, but I hope Dwayne Wilson has a big season this year. And I just want him to kind of be that guy, because he missed out on last year. I think he's a supremely talented kid, so athletic, for what it's worth in the scrimmage, obviously it looked like Derek Wilson had him locked up pretty good. I'm sure he still has stuff to learn, but the talent is certainly there, and I think he's going to be a big-time player eventually, even if it's not necessarily this year, but I think he'll be a big-time player at Marquette, and I hope he starts to show flashes of that this year, and maybe by the time we get to Big East play, I hope he's a guy that people want to see in the game, including Wojciechowski, and count on him for big minutes late in the game. So I'm hoping Dwayne Wilson is a breakout player.
Yeah, I think so. And based on the, neither one of us went to the Haunted Hoop scrimmage, but based on the feedback from the scrimmage of people who were there, now Derek Wilson didn't play because he was day-to-day with a groin injury, but Dwayne Wilson looked vastly improved from the first scrimmage. So hopefully that continues as he gets run time. I like the pick.
Yeah. And he's so talented, and his ceiling is so high with that athleticism. I remember I saw him playing in an AAU game, and just, for being a guy who was, not the biggest guy in the world, he's not like short. I don't think he's not below 6 feet or anything, but I mean,
yeah, I think he's a solid 6'1".
Yeah, but I saw him, getting up there and blocking shots of guys who were 6'8", 6'9", and I was like, man, this guy's got some springs. Wearing that number one, he reminded me of Dominic James on that particular block shot that I remember. But we'll see if he can be a big-time player this year. What about a newcomer, Phil? So a guy who did not play at all last year, who can contribute some this year.
Well, I'm glad you say did not play at all last year, because I'm going to steal your player that you just mentioned. I think Dwayne Wilson is the newcomer this year. He was injured last year. He's got a lot to prove. He's got a lot of talent. He's going to come in and really turn some heads in as the newcomer, where people go, oh, man, if we had had him last year, what could we have had?
Yeah, I hope so. We've talked about Dwayne plenty. So, again, our expectations are high. I hope he has a good year. Just to bring in something different to the table, the thing is, there's not many options when we talk about a newcomer of the year
right.
for this team. There's really only three options. But I'm going to go with Luke Fisher. Or I guess there's four options, because it could be Carlino too. But I'm going to go with Fisher just because he's going to get so many opportunities. You know, this is a kid who was a top 100 recruit. He just really just never, for whatever reason, never fit in Indiana, never got an opportunity to shine.
And he doesn't like self-tanning?
Maybe that's the reason. And, you know, he doesn't really need to get a tan in Wisconsin, because those are pretty hard to find.
Right.
So I think hopefully, he put meat on the bones, as Wainwright said last year when he first came into the program, and he's bulked up, and he'll have plenty of time in practice. There won't be much wear and tear on the body once he jumps in Big East play. And I think he will be a difference maker in Big East play. I mean, I'm not saying he'll be an all Big East player, but I think he will be a significant presence. And once he takes the floor, I think everyone will be like, thank goodness this guy is here.
Well, and he's going to have to be. He's going to have to be.
He absolutely has to be. Cause, as I've said before, during non-conference play, I think we will be saying, gosh, we missed Ox so badly.
Yeah.
We missed Devontae Gardner so badly. We'll say that so often.
Yeah. Well, and I think Luke Fisher is going to be the one player that has to step up. You know, the other players we all want to, but we've got some pieces at other positions that if one player doesn't step up, we should be able to have another player step up. Luke Fisher is the one player. There is not another Luke Fisher on the roster.
Yeah. There will be maybe some more next year.
Correct.
That's next year. All right. Finally, the last thing, and this is something I just kind of made up just because it's another talk.
Well, it is a make-believe podcast.
It is. Who is your X-Factor player? So what's an X-Factor? I define it as a guy who, when he is on and playing well, Marquette has a much better chance of winning when he is on than when he is off. Maybe not necessarily the MVP of the team, not necessarily the best player, but a guy who, when he contributes, Marquette can win. For example, last year, my X-Factor player was Todd Mayo. When Mayo was good, Marquette was very good. And when Mayo was bad, Marquette struggled.
So are you going with Mayo this year?
Well, I'm not going with Mayo this year, no, unfortunately. I would have if he was back. I probably
right.
would have. But I can't. So my X Factor is going to be Juwan Johnson. I want to see Trey J, as we've called him. I want to see him break out this year. That is a kid I am really pulling for this year. I mean, a kid who was, depending on what recruiting service is your favorite, a five-star kid, a guy who was highly touted, who could really score in high school, didn't get that many opportunities last year for whatever reason. May struggle with his shot, struggled defensively at times. But I think when he breaks out and is maybe able to kind of get in the flow of a game, and maybe that's the truth for volume shooters or guys who score a lot, they need to get a chance to actually get in the flow of the game. And I think when he's given that opportunity, I think Juwan Johnson – hopefully can help Marquette win a couple games this year.
I think that's totally a fair pull. I think he showed some things. There were brief flashes last year that he showed some ability that I think would translate very well and could really feed the team, which was one of the frustration points, I think, of the fan base, was why, Juwan Johnson wasn't getting more PT. So I think you're right to have him as an X factor. I'm totally cheating and lazy here. I'm picking Dwayne Wilson again as an X factor. He's going to be the newcomer, and Dwayne Wilson is going to be, and maybe similar to how you have Juwan Johnson, but I think Dwayne Wilson, with his athleticism, his ability to drive to the hole, is going to take some pressure off some other players, and hopefully kind of be the stir that, or the straw that stirs the drink, if you will. It's easy for me to say, for Marquette's offense. So the offense will really get going when Dwayne Wilson is playing at the top of his game.
Yeah. Hopefully with Juwan Johnson, it's not a case of like the backup quarterback syndrome, where the favorite guy among the fan base is the guy who's just not playing.
Yeah.
And he gets back, then the backup quarterback goes in, they're like, oh, gosh, put the starter in. Hopefully it's not just myth and legend, his talent. But by all accounts, he is a talented player and can be a very good player in the Big East. And I am definitely pulling for him and Steve Taylor, too. Those are two guys who I just really am not sure they got the best opportunity to shine last year. And I hope they take advantage of this opportunity and prove some doubters wrong this year. I think they both have a lot of talent.
So. Well, and Steve Taylor and Juwan Johnson both are the players with the biggest, what I would say, chip on their shoulder. I mean, by their own admission, they were likely gone after last season if things hadn't gone the way they went. So clearly they were frustrated. They felt their talent was being underused. So I have a sneaking suspicion that they're very interested in proving that they deserve to be getting time last year by how they perform this year.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm excited. Again, we may not be doing as many podcasts in November as we did last year just because of personal schedules, but we'll try to get one in at least a few times and hopefully break down some big wins, hopefully. But you can always follow us on Twitter. I'm Joe McCann3. Phil is M00F23. You can all follow the team page at Crack Sidewalks. And you can also follow us, like us on Facebook. That's where we post the podcast. And, of course, they're on iTunes as well. Any final thoughts, Phil, as we jump into the schedule and are ready to kick off Marquette basketball?
No, we're less than 2 weeks away. So I think it's time to start actually playing games and seeing what the talent is as opposed to just speculating.
Yeah, I am as great as a start as Steve Wojciechowski is off to. I am excited to see him actually coach a game.
Right? Can he coach a game? We'll find out.
And I am confident that he can. For the record, I just think it's a little funny that we all love Wojciechowski so much and we are so big on him right now, when he just has exactly zero career wins. And but I am really confident with his pedigree that he's going to be a very good coach, even though this may not be his best team this year, but I think he's going to do a lot with what he has. So we'll see how he does. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and we'll catch you next time on Scrambled Eggs. Until next time, seashells and balloons.